On Palm Sunday, we commemorate the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, an event that marks the beginning of the most crucial week in the history of the world and in our own lives. Today, we join our voices with the multitudes who came before us, who welcomed Jesus. We wave our own palm branches and sing Hosanna to our King. In today's sermon, we will delve into the virtues of Christ's triumphal entry, namely his humility, his service, and his sacrifice. And then we will apply these virtues to our own lives. And then finally, we will lift our eyes to the full vision of our victory there in the courts of heaven to come. First, Jesus' humble entry into Jerusalem. The prophetic word of Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, it captures the essence of the coming King and his entry into the holy city. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, marking just one of the many prophecies he had come to fulfill. The excited crowds who had gathered to see Jesus enter the city, they spread their cloaks on the road, along with the palm branches that they waved. They honored him as their long-awaited king. Perhaps unbeknownst to them, they chose to adorn Christ's path with the shoddy clothes of the Garden of Eden, leaves and garments that barely covered our nakedness and our shame. These coverings remind us of what the prophet Isaiah says about our sinfulness. He says, "We all are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy garments. We wither as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, sweep us away." So rejoice, O daughters of Zion and Jerusalem. Our King has come to tread underfoot these coverings of old. So off with the filthy garments and down with the withered leaves. Our King gladly exchanges these with the robe of his own righteousness. Hosanna in the highest. The people praised Jesus, but they did not fully understand the nature of this King or his kingdom. For Jesus did not come as a worldly ruler to establish an earthly throne. He came as a humble servant, riding on a donkey, to inaugurate the spiritual reign of God's kingdom within his pardoned transgressors, a people alone known by their radiant apparel. Christ's humility as he rode into Jerusalem, it serves as a powerful reminder to us that God's kingdom defies worldly standards and turns them upside down. In Christ's kingdom, greatness is not found in finding oneself, in winning a trophy or the ball game, or in discovering some hidden talent within. Greatness is found in the covering of Christ, in his humility, his selfless service, and his atoning sacrifice for our sin. Second here, Christ's humility, service, and sacrifice. In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul adorns us with Christ's righteousness. He actually puts it on us. He says it's the source and model for all Christian living. He says this, "Have this mind in you." Have it. It's yours. I'm dressing you with it right now. Right? "Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who pre-existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be seized, but emptied himself by taking the very form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in human appearance, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In response to his son's humble obedience, his service and his sacrifice, God the Father highly exalted him and gladly granted him the name above all names, ensuring that all of creation would bow before this humble king and confess him as Lord. Through this passage from Paul's letter, we find ourselves blessed at the feet of Jesus, who for our sakes gladly adorns us with a beautiful raiment, the very robe of his righteousness. He dresses us with his humility, his service, his sacrifice, that having been saved by his grace, we too may now walk triumphantly in the way of the cross that Christ sets before us. Third, living out Christ's humility, service, and sacrifice in our lives. In a world characterized by taking life rather than giving it, in creating division rather than mending it, and in honoring oneself rather than honoring the Lord, Christians are called to live in stark contrast to the ways of the world. We have been drawn up from the water to reflect the image of another, the image of Christ himself, his humility, his service, his sacrifice. By reflecting Christ within us and through us, he continues to expose the naked and shameful world for what it is. And yet his love remains the same. He doesn't send us out to condemn the world, but to wrap it in the robe of his righteousness. Since our Lord has so weaved us together to cover his world in his righteousness, let us consider how to better live out his virtues in our daily lives. Today we consider just three: humility, service, and sacrifice. First, humility. Jesus' humility was demonstrated not only in his triumphal entry, but also throughout his entire earthly ministry. He was born in a lowly manger, spent time with the marginalized and despised, and washed his disciples' feet. As Christians, we strive to emulate Christ's humility, first by recognizing our dependence on God, and second, by acknowledging the dignity and worth of every individual we encounter, regardless of their background, how much they've sinned against us, no matter their social standing or their degeneracy. We honor and dignify them, for Christ died for them and shed his blood for their salvation. Beloved, in a world that is known by self-promotion and self-glorification, our humble demeanor can be a powerful antidote that testifies to the life of Christ for all men. Second virtue we consider this day is serving others. Jesus' life was marked by service to others, ultimately culminating in his sacrificial death on the cross to save and justify all who believe in him. As those reborn in his image, we are called to serve others with the same selflessness and love that he demonstrated. This may involve meeting the physical needs of those around us, offering emotional support and encouragement, or sharing the life-giving, life-renewing words of Christ himself. And in serving others, we reveal Christ's love to those in need of his hope and healing. The third virtue is sacrifice. Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross was the ultimate act of love, providing salvation for all who believe in Him. As Christians, we are called to make sacrifices. Not sacrifices for sin, but sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Sacrifices made willingly and gladly by the Spirit of our Lord. Sacrifices made in the honor of Christ and for the sake of those He came to save. These may look like we must sacrifice our time or some of our resources or even our own personal safety. Sacrifices in which we place the needs of others above our own and advance the cause of the gospel. Not for our own selves, but for the sake of another. Humility, service, and sacrifice. These virtues with which you are dressed. The fourth section of this gospel is called Looking to Heaven and to the Joy that Awaits Us. As we walk triumphantly in the way of the cross and follow after our Lord, let us gladly dress ourselves in His humility, in His service, in His sacrifice. Let us not become downtrodden, but fix our eyes on Jesus and look forward to the joy that He has set before us. In the book of Revelation, John provides us a glimpse of that future. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could number. A people from every tribe and nation and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This heavenly vision offers us great comfort and encouragement as we face the challenges of our life. It's not easy to serve, not easy to sacrifice, not easy to be humble. That's why we keep this image before our eyes and in front of our hearts. Our present sufferings are but a small and very temporary part of our journey. But the joy we look forward to, that joy is eternal. Soon we will join that victorious throng in heaven, waving our palm branches in victory and singing eternal praises to our King. With this heavenly vision before us, let us draw up fresh strength to endure these momentary afflictions and walk forth in triumph after the image of our Lord in Jerusalem. And let us do so not for ourselves, but for the sake of those who will come after, for they are our heavenly treasure and our eternal joy. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, Christ says. And what are these treasures? They are the people of this world who believe in His name, eternal in the heavens. Beloved, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, let us remember that this day's festivities find their culmination and their highest praise in the cross of Christ. As we look forward now to this Holy Week, I encourage you, strongly encourage you to come Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Good Friday is the day. That's the day of victory. That's the final three-point shot, right? That's the last touchdown. Or if you're at the game last night, just the domination of the opponent, right? That's the day. The resurrection, in a sense, is the result of that day. The victory was on the cross. And because of that victory, Christ had to be raised. Right? So come on Good Friday. Yes, it's a day to mourn at times, but it's also a day to rejoice. He has done it. He has beaten the foe, and He grants me to share in His victory. Therefore, I will gladly come on the day marked as Good Friday. So let us remember that the festivities of this day find their culmination on that day, in the cross of Christ. We find this joy also in ourselves as we bear our own crosses in this life. And we find this joy brought into its fullness on the final day, as we behold those saints waving their palm branches, shouting the victory that awaits us. Through our witness in this life, we ask God, Heavenly Father, glorify your Son in us and in our conduct. Continue to bring your hope and healing to this perverted world, and by the blood of Christ, cover it with his righteousness, so that on the day to come we may rejoice with the full multitude of saints who shall sing the praises of our everlasting salvation. Lord, grant this unto us. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.